Welcome in. Ramban and Parsha Yishlach is unusually fascinating. Ramban, as we've seen in the past, often will have global approaches, not only to a pasuk but to a parsha and to a sefer as well. We've seen over the last number of weeks that the Ramban, beginning with Parshas Lech Lecha, accesses the comment, the principle that Chazal have in the Bereishis Rabba of which he calls Ma'ase Avos Siman Lebanim, that the events that occur in the Tanakh, and specifically in Sefer Bereishis, they're being written not only for the event as it happened then, but the Ma'ase of the Avos is Siman Lebanim, that it's a form of nevuah for what would happen later on in Jewish history. That's a principle Ramban mentioned in Lech Lecha, and that he sees consistently working throughout Sefer Bereishis. Here in Vayishlach, it seems like it's even more specific, even more powerful than throughout Chumash Bereishis. As a matter of fact, the Ramban, we've seen that Ramban writes Hakdamos, introductions to the various Chumashim, to the Svarim, and that's because, consistent with his position, that there's a theme to every Sefer, so he lays out what the overall theme is, and then works through the Psukim, and for instance, as we just mentioned, Hakdamata, as just mentioned, Sefer Bereishis, he sees much of Bereishis as being driven by Ma'as Avasim Labanim. There's a Hakdama here to Parshas Vayishlach. That's why I want to begin with the Hakdama to Vayishlach, and then we'll have a chance to see his comments on some of the opening psukim as well. If you're just a note before we dive in, a technical note, if you're following along in a printed chumash, so it's easy to find, or printed Ramban, see the beginning of Vayishlach, and there's a paragraph before Pasuk Dalet that begins with the word Nichtava, Nichtava Parsha Azos. However, if you're following along with Safaria, if you're following along with Safaria, it's a little tricky because they put the Hakadama together with the previous Pasuk. So if you're following Safaria, you're looking at the middle Paraklavan Beis Pasuk Beis. Paraklavan Beis Pasuk Beis from the end of Parsha Yitzev Yifkubo Malachi Elokim. And then in the middle of that paragraph, they pick up Nichtava HaParsha Azot. So let's take a look together. This is the introduction, Ramban's introduction to Parsha Yishlach. Nichtva Parsha Azos. Vayishlach opens with Yaakov Avinu's rendezvous with Esav. He counters Esav as he returns to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan from Lavan. Why is this encounter mentioned in Chumash? Why is this nevuah shehut shechol adoros? Nichtva Parsha Azos. Lahodia ki itzila kadosh baruch hu az avdo ugolo miyad chazak imenu. Number one, Ramban says, this is an object lesson. It teaches us, you get to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu took care and protected his Eved, protected Yaakov from a militarily much stronger foe. Esav was armed to the teeth. The Yishlach Malach Be'atelu, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw to it, put the pieces in place to ensure that Yaakov would be safe, that Esav would not harm him. And again, it was a nice Nistra at the very least. So that what we have expected. That's number one. Number one, you learn from this parasha that Kadosh Baruch took care of Yaakov Avinu. Ulelam Deinu Od, but there's another lesson. Shehu lo batach b'tzidkasa. Yaakov did not rely on Amid Tzadik, I deserve it, Kadosh Baruch will take care of me. V'hishtadel b'hatzal b'chal yichalto. And Yaakov Avinu, at the same time that bitachon, and we see that Kadosh Baruch taking care of him, he also did his own ishtadlus. So that balance of bitachon and ishtadlus, that balance of Kadosh Baruch taking care of us and our need to care for ourselves, that those two elements are on full display in Parsha Yishlach. And in fact, as Ramban is going to quote later on, that's a famous Rashi. Yaakov Avinu prepares himself in three different ways. Doron, Melchama, and Tefillah. He prepares himself for practical interventions, both diplomatic and military, and he's Mispal Tekadosh Baruch Hu. A blend, that blend is being displayed here. And that's a blend, obviously, that we are meant, it's written in the Torah, not just to praise Yaakov Avinu, but to hold Yaakov Avinu up as a model for us to pattern ourselves after. But we too have to understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us, and at the same time, He expects his shtadlus of us. Before we move on, it's worth just being medayik in one phrase here. When he says the second element is that Yaakov did his shtadlus, he writes, Shehu lo batach b'tzidkasam. Yaakov did not rely on his tzedakah, on his being a tzaddik. He did not assume that he's such a tzaddik, and that obviously is referencing the pasuk later in this parsha and the comment of Chazal in Maseches Brachos. Katonti mikol chasadim mikol ha'mes. Yaakovina says, I don't deserve, and I'm too small. Although HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised he would take care of me last week's parsha, but maybe I don't deserve it. Shema, as the Gemara Brachos comments, Shema Yigam Achet. Something that the Rabban spoke about in last week's parsha, Parsha Yitzeh. That comes up, that's when Yaakov was looking forward to what would happen. We were looking at the promise. And now, Yaakov said, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised, but maybe I don't deserve it. So even in a situation where there was a divine, explicit divine promise of protection, Yaakov still felt the need to do it shtadlus. Certainly we do not have a express divine promise of protection on us personally. There is an express divine promise of protection for the community, for Klal Yisrael, but for one individual Jew, we don't have a haftacha of how things work out for us. Certainly, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care and expects us to be mishtadel, to work on taking care of ourselves as well. So that's level one in terms of the lesson, the messaging of this parsha. Then the Rabban says, beyond that mess, that limud in Emuna of balancing bitachon and shtadlus, is also a remez ledoros. There's also an allusion to the generations. I mean, this is also a particular type of masa of a simul labanim. This is a nevuah for what will happen in the doros, in the generations of Jewish history. Ki chol asher era le'avinu im esav ha'achiv ye'era lanu tamid im b'nei esav. Understand, Ramban writes, that the parts of Yaakov's interactions with Esav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to write in the Chumash are those elements that recur repeatedly throughout the generations of B'nai Yisrael interacting with B'nai Esav. The Roy Lanulecha is B'darko Shel Tzadik. We have to learn from the Tzadik, from Yaakov Avinu, to know how to handle ourselves. And here he says, number one, She'nazmin atzmein l'shosh zadvar. She'hizmin hu es atzma. Lesson number one are the three pieces of Yaakov's preparation. To prepare, and to prepare these three elements. L'tfila, l'doron, u'lehatzala. Davin takadosh baruch hu. And the practical shtadlus of both Doron and Hatzala Kederach Melchama, Levroach Ulihinatzel. He says there was a diplomatic, he sent gifts to try to create better relationships, and Hatzala Kederach Melchama, to save himself in a military sense, in a military fashion. He's prepared to run if need be. If it won't be solved diplomatically, we have to do a military style solution. Interesting language that the Ramban has. He doesn't say he's prepared for Milchama, he says he's prepared for Derech Milchama. He's prepared for Milchama style, but it sounds like Ramban's understanding at this point that Milchama may mean more a question of running away rather than a question of actually fighting. Later on, though, the Ramban explains that he was prepared for a military encounter. We'll get to that in Pasuk Kes. The Ramban concludes this paragraph, Uchvara Urabo Sein Haremez Azem Na Parsha Zos Ka Asher Azkir. As we're going to see as we proceed through the Pesukim, Ramban says, Chazal very sensitive to this aspect of Remez, to understanding that those pieces of the story of the encounter in Yaakov and Esav, they're recorded in Chumash, are those pieces which are a nevuah for us. Let's begin with the very next paragraph, Pasuk Dalet. El Esav Achver to Seir. And he's sending messengers to his brother Esav to the land of Seir. that Seir, Eretz Seir is where Esav lived. Why is he sending messengers? Bavur, says Ramban, Pasuk Dal, Bavur heyos negev Eretz Yisrael, ayad Edom. The south of Eretz Yisrael is alongside, is to the west of Edom. Edom is part of what we would call, in modern parlance, southern Jordan. So the south of Eretz Yisrael is near Edom, the Aviv Yoshev Eretz HaNegev, and Yaakov is not headed to the north of Eretz Israel. He's coming back from the north, coming back from Syria, from Haran, but he's headed all the way down to the southern end of Eretz Israel. That's where his father lived, in Beersheba and so forth. Either he's going to pass through Edom, or at the very least he's going to be passing alongside near Edom. That's what he was worried about. Maybe Esau will hear that his ear, he'll notice him, he'll hear about him. So Yaakov wanted to preempt that situation. So he knows he's going to, he may have, will have an encounter. So Yaakov figured, instead of it just happening to me, let me get ahead of the curve and let me reach out proactively to Esau before we meet each other. Let me try to solve things in advance. It's an interesting question, implied question Ramban is raising is you sort of read the psukim, we assume Yaakov was sending the malachim to Esav, but why did he need to? So what the Ramban is saying is, that's a good question. Why did he need to go out of his way? Why did he have to be proactive? And the answer is because he was worried that it would happen otherwise on his way to Yitzhak. So he figured he would get ahead of the curve, which is often a good idea. But Chazal understand that here was not appropriate. Chazal critique, Ramban quotes, Chazal critique Yaakov Avinu for being proactive. Amar Breishis Rabbah. Here he quotes Breishis Rabbah, very ancient medrash. Machazik ba'oznei kelev. You're grabbing the ears of a dog. You know, what are you starting up? The dog is happy, and you're poking it, and you're enraging it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'darko hay mahalech. Esav was doing his thing. Ha'yisav mishalech etzlo. Why do you go looking for trouble? He says the Bereishis Rabba understands that this was inappropriate on Yaakov's part. Again, you have to assess what the situation is, but here the assessment should have been that he could leave things that to continue with the metaphor that the Bereishis Rabba quotes in Pasuk in Mishlei, let sleeping dogs lie, leave it alone. He won't bother you, you don't bother him. Instead, you open the issue for no good reason. And then the Ramban says, that's not only a comment about Yaakov, that's a comment about more recent Jewish history. Ve'al-da'ati gam zeh yirmos. This is also a remez. How is it a remez? Ki anachnu hizchalun nefiloseim yad Edom. We began, the Jewish people, were the ones who catalyzed our fall into the hands of Edom at the end of the Bayit Sheni period. Destruction of the Bayit Sheni was at the hands of Rome, which Chazal identified as the spiritual heirs to Esav and Edom. So that the fall of Yerushalayim, the hands of the Romans, was a process begun by the Jews themselves. Ki malche beis Bayit Sheni bo bevris and Romian. Points out Gemara Avodah Zarah. We sought them out unnecessarily. We began the conversation that ended with the fall of Yerushalayim. Shavel in the footnotes sends you to various midrashim that give more of the story that appears in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It says you have to, Ramban is pointing out that the challenge of Yaakov is a challenge throughout Jewish history. When is it worth proactively reaching out to those who might be our adversaries, and when is it worth just doing our thing and keeping a low profile, doing our thing without opening conversations that maybe do more harm than good? Let's take a look at one more paragraph in Ramban. A couple of psukim later, Pasuk Tes. Yaakov is making preparations. He gets word back. He had sent agents with presents and with a diplomatic message to Esav, and the agents come back and say it's not looking good. Ramban in Pasuk Ches explains that you read the Pesukim Sa'olin carefully, it sounds like Esav refused to even give them any diplomatic recognition, refused to even receive Yaakov's agents. So that already was a message to Yaakov that Esav does not have positive feelings for him, even after all these decades. And the agents, they never had a chance to speak to Esav, which is why they don't report back, here's what Esav said. But they did apparently have the chance to observe that Esav was making military preparations. So they come back and tell Yaakov, there's trouble brewing. Yaakov begins the next step of his preparations, divides the machane into two. Right? The previous stage was Doron, and this is Milchama. From bottom here in Pasuk Tes, V'hayah machaneh nishar lifleita. It says, in Yavo Esav ha-machaneh achas v'ikav, we divide the Jewish people, the Bnei Yaakov, Yaakov's family, all those who travel with Yaakov into two groups, two different spots. Esav comes to one, Yavo Esav ha-machaneh achas v'ikav, if he attacks one group, so the other camp will be lifleita. How do you know? Al-derech ha-pshat omar zeh bu'ulai. And the Ramban is right away troubled. Maybe he'll attack both. He says, "Al pi pshuto, ulai maybe ki amar ulai yinatzel hamachna echad." We don't know for sure that dividing into two will help us, but it increases our chances. Bi hakoso echad yivrchu achir. And how will dividing into two increase our chances? Number one, either the other machna will be nishul afleita because they have a chance to escape. Or tashuv chamoso. Or maybe after attacking one machna, Esav will have calmed down and won't be interested in attacking the other machna. Or a third possible way in which the second machna may be saved. Oh, tavol lahem hatzalam es Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu will save them. Now again, that way alone is fascinating. And it takes us back to the opening paragraph of Ramban. Kadosh Baruch Hu will save them. Kadosh Baruch Hu will save them even with the one machna. So apparently Rabban is saying, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save them, but still, we need two Heshtablos as well. Then, he says, Rashi kasev, haya machna nisho lefleta al karcho ki ilachim imo. Now, Rabban says, Shusha Mikra is maybe we'll be saved. Why maybe we'll be saved? Maybe we'll run away. Maybe we'll be saved some other way. Rashi says, we will be saved ki ilachim imo. I'll fight. If I can't defend the entire, both machnas, I can at least defend one machna. And here comes the point of difference I mentioned before. Does melchama just mean running away? Does melchama actually mean military action on the part of Yaakov? Hiskinatzmo l'shalosh dvar. Tefila, daron ulim melchama. And Rashi understands melchama actually means not just escaping a war scenario, but actually military action, going to war if need be against Esav. For Isi the Midrash, and it is the Midrash that supports that. Me'asa, what did Yaakov do? Zina mi'bifnim v'lbisham begadim levanim mi'bichutz. He armed his people, his family, on the inside, but then they covered over the arms with white clothing, with dress clothes. And that way he prepared himself for three things. In other words, Rabban has pointed out from the Medrash, on the one hand, it's hard to understand how they prepared for Milchama if Yaakov has a very friendly meeting with Esav. And it sounds like we're still in Doron style. So that's why the Rabban initially, beginning of the Parsha and initially in this Pasuk, have been suggesting that Milchama just means running away. But this Medrash has given us a solution. That at the same time, they were ready for both. They did make a friendly presentation. Hilbisham begadim levanim lachutz. That was the ideal, was to have a diplomatic solution. But at the same time, they were simultaneously ready, if need be, with the Zion. They were armed. If need be, they would pull out their arms. Hakavana b'zeh. Rabban says, that's the dominant approach. They weren't just ready to run. They were actually ready to fight. Says the deeper meaning here is they were sure Yaakov, as Rashi said, it wasn't Ulai, we'll definitely survive. Why? We know we're not all going to be attacked by Esav. We have to do my Ashtaz to divide into two, but if I do my Ashtaz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will definitely take care. I know for sure at least one Machna will survive a hook or by crook somehow. He says that's because of the Haftacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yaakov. That's an interesting take. In other words, katonti, maybe I'm chet gor, I'm not going to be zocha to be saved entirely, but someone will be saved. Some part of Machne Yaakov will be saved. And then he says, and with this we close, gam ze yirmos. This too is a remez for future generations of Jewish history. Shlo yigzor aleinu b'nei Esav, this is a very, very famous Ramban. He says, this idea, again, which is said in the first, very abstract, the two machnos, or the second machne, definitely be saved, second machne might be saved, pshat, rash. Why does it really matter? He says, here's why it matters. Number one, it matters because Ramban is moving from milchama meaning merely running to milchama meaning fighting. And also because there's a remez to the following phenomena that we have seen throughout Jewish history. Shal yigzor aleinu b'nei Esav l'mchos ha'shemeinu. Anti-Semites will never succeed throughout Jewish history in eliminating the Jewish people. Yasu ra'osim kitzaseinu b'kitzatzer ratzot shelhem. They may succeed in persecuting some of the Jewish people in some areas. Melech echad mehem gozer ba'artzo al mamoneinu ol gufeinu. It may be that there's a government in one country, a king in one country, who's persecuting Jews in his country, taking away their money, perhaps even attacking their bodies. But Melech Acher, Merachem b'mekomo u'matzil ha'pleitim. But Kadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that at the same time, in a different part of the world, there's another government that is welcoming us in. The Kach Amar B'reishis Rabba. The B'reishis Rabba says this. Im yavo Esav al-machna achas v'yikahu, elu achena shebedar. If Esav will come and attack one machna, those are the Jews in the south, v'yamachna nishal l'chleita, and that other machna will be survived, elu achena shebegola. Those are our brothers in Golos. Probably reference at the time to the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. Over the period of the Tanaim and into the period of the Amoraim, the Roman Empire was by and large increasingly persecuting the Jews. There were occasional breaks, but by and large the persecution of the Jews steadily increased. But at the same time that the Rome was becoming increasingly intolerant, pagan Rome was intolerant of the Jews, and the Christian Rome was even more intolerant of the Jews. At the same time, in Persia, Persian Empire controlled Babel, and they were far more tolerant of the Jews. So when things became more difficult there in Israel, Achenu Shebedarom, but the Jews in Babel, Achenu Shebegola, had the freedom to learn and to live as Jews and to write the Talmud, produce the Talmud Babli. Ru'u ki gamlu daros tirmozo saparsha. Rabban says, don't you see? This is something that's been true throughout the generations. There were times in medieval era when Christendom was a very difficult place for Jews to live, and Islamic countries were more welcoming. And then they kept changing and moving from era to era, from century to century, but always he says that that's why he says part of significance, that's not ulai, it's vadai. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Yaakov, and he knew it, and this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu always take care of the Jewish people. Individual Jews may be persecuted, but Kalal Yisrael as a whole always survives. The Kadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that we're spread in a way that as a Kalal, as a Tzibur, we continue to survive. That's one of the great lessons of Parshas Vayishlach. Have a marvelous day, Rabbi Osei. We will be in touch later on.